Welcome to Star Wars, Age of Rebellion. This is an RPG Storytime presentation of a campaign played over several years utilizing all three Star Wars role-playing books by Fantasy Flight Games. This is a grand campaign where everything you hear was decided by players in an epic-scale role-playing and strategy game, then turned into this production that tells the story one chapter at a time with occasional explanations of game mechanics. The episodes are shorter than most gaming podcasts because each session is summarized in the form of a story much like an audiobook. It begins with a small band of agents played by a few role players. As the Rebel cell grows, more players are brought in to take on the roles of other operatives heading out on other missions and taking part in various battles. Every choice affects the direction of the story, both for the characters on the mission and for the overall story arc. And the ultimate fate of the Juvex and Senex sectors is up to them. Debates at the United Houses had resumed. Most speakers were responding to what House Hax had brought up, the insistence that the Empire must remain out of their territory versus the call for safety and security. House Vandron was leading the charge in favor of having the Empire move in. House Casito was seconding anything and everything that they said. House Strako took one of these opportunities to accuse Casito of exploiting their enemy, House Kellerman, who had fled these proceedings due to an assassination attempt.
"Are you accusing us of this act?" the Casito representative asked.
"You are, after all, a puppet of the Empire," the Strako representative replied. The two began to spar with their words. Others joined in a chaotic argument, and the parliamentarian called for order. Ilama Woolwill turned to Dentra and told them that they were going to need to write up a speech for the evening session, something that brought an end to this bickering and determined once and for all that the vote would go their way in the morning.
"All is as the Force wills it."
Inspired by what he had been told by the representative of House Kellerman, Yalta went to the historic district of town and found the archaeological center where maps were kept of the old city that once existed before the houses had built over it.
My son has a school project coming up. I need to copy some of these maps that compare the way it was to the way it is today," he said.
The clerks brought the various maps to him, and he had time to go over the various architectures. He had to resist bellowing with excitement. The comparison of the two found exactly what the Kellerman representative had implied. Some of the present structures were built directly over the old ones, at least in a specific area of town, and there was a gap between the old structures and the new. These architectural builds were centered right where the Empire had built the tower they were trying to get into. What he was now learning was labeled as a training center. But what truly made Yalta want to cheer with joy was what he found in the archives of the ancient civilization's storm drain system. There were passages under the city that could be accessed from public areas that would take them into the gap inside the wall. Unfortunately, there were no reliable ones that led any further into the grounds, but this would be close enough. Yalta had a plan.
"Roll recording,"
Roach said, wearing a beret and carrying a stick. Reggie began recording audio in 3D video.
"And action."
Aelor acted like she was sneaking into a room with a computer to steal some information. She was wearing some clothing they had seen representatives of House Pictorian wearing earlier. The plan was to use it to frame them. Roach was playing a role in other scenes, but at the moment he was enjoying telling Eleanor what to do. He had plans for Doubly as well, but he was busy at the moment picking up other blackmailing information that Cid gave him in a walk-by handoff. Once he had it, Doubly returned to the ship, to Roach's pleas of playing one of the sneaky underworlders. But Doubly begged off, saying he'd have to become a star another time. He needed the ship's computer to check out what he had, then copy it. The device held proof that Araba had been cheating House Vandron on multiple deals. Even if it didn't turn the Araba dignitaries to their side, it would at least turn the two most Imperial-friendly factions against one another. Once Doubly had what he wanted, he took the original device to Araba's offices. He ran it up to the front desk. He had a voice message from himself telling them that this information would go to House Vandron immediately after the vote if they did not vote no in the morning. By the time the message got to any of the high-ranking ambassadors, Doubly was long gone without a trace. He was already on his way to House Casito with a similar message. This one was just an audio device that played his voice. It told them to check their local bank account. Once they saw what had been stolen, they needed to realize that there would be more of this type of hacking unless they learned to pull away from their reliance on the Empire. Yalta returned to the ship about the same time that Roach and Aelor finished their video, Roach was disappointed, as he had wanted Yalto in the film.
What a shame,
Yalto said dismissively. Then he plugged something into Reggie to project onto the ground. It was maps of the tunnels.
Aw, you brought an adventure game for us, Yali?
Roach asked.
No, kid, this isn't a game. It's an ancient storm drain system that runs under the city. And look at where it comes up.
He switched the image to the modern buildings. They could all see that a couple of the access points came up inside the modern walls, while still outside the ancient walls. Everyone gasped with excitement. Yalto pointed at a section of the wall that bulged and explained that this was the shield generator.
Once we take that out, we can fly our ship right into the balcony,
Yalto said.
Great! I'll bring my grenades,
Roach said.
You'll need more grenades, kid,
Yalto said.
What have we got that's better than grenades?
Roach asked. Yalto turned his head to look out of the Y-Wing.
We throw the Y-Wing at it.
No, we use a proton torpedo. You set an explosive on it, and when it goes off, it takes out the wall and the shield.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good idea, Yali.
But first, I need you all to look respectable. The elegant diplomat gave us passes to watch the speeches at the United Houses building tonight.
Oh.
There's a reason for this. Master Dentra is helping our host write her speech. We're hoping her words tip the balance of the houses that are still on the fence. This is the culmination of all the work you've done, so it should be something you want to see.
Aelor had already left and was currently doing the very business Yalto was referring to. Roach had made several copies of the video they had made, which would hopefully convince people that Picatorian was up to no good. They didn't know who to give this video to, so they had decided on giving one to House Elegen. And one to House Hax. Eller was on her way to the offices of the latter now, Holovid in hand. The diplomats were on their afternoon break at the moment, and she had an hour window to catch him. This break wasn't a lunch like the other one. It was a break intended for contemplation, and thus the diplomats went to nearby offices to thank and write speeches. There were no great lunch meetings or dinner parties or caucuses. Just a quiet consideration, and the streets reflected this atmosphere. Shadows were growing long as the sun streaked down the street Elor was walking along. The information Roach had hacked revealed the location of Kaisava Pezrap's evening office, so Elor was on her way to it. As she came close, she noticed someone entering an alley. It was not directly next to the residence, but it was on the same block, and the individual looked like he was trying not to be noticed. Elor pretended to look away in hopes he'd assume she hadn't seen him, and let him enter the alley. The diplomat entered her building and left a guard out front. A second went inside with her. Elor realized why the potential assassin would choose the route he had. She slipped down the same alleyway and followed. As she expected, it intersected another alley that branched out toward the diplomat's building. Elor took to the shadows, which were easy at this time of day. The assassin did the same. She spotted him and found him climbing up the back of the building the diplomat had entered. Elor climbed up the opposite building. The assassin heard something from her direction and looked, but did not see her, so he continued on. Aelor had stopped within the frame of a window. There she waited a moment. Then she hopped from window to window until she was almost parallel with the man. He had reached the window of the diplomat's office and was peeking inside. Having apparently found his target, he was raising up a blaster. Elor leaped across the alleyway and lit her saber. The man turned just in time to see the mint-green blade slice through his stomach. Kaisava Pazrap's indoor guard ran past her and checked the window. No one was there, but a holographic recorder was sitting on the windowsill. He took it to her, and she looked it over. Master Dentra had gone with Ilama Woolwill to her private office to help draft her speech for the evening. She would be making the final case for keeping the twin sectors free of the Empire. So it was of great importance that she get it right. Along the way to the office, they had been discussing the concepts behind the speech. What made one wish to be independent of a galactic empire, or republic for that matter? That conversation continued into the building, and they settled on the basic desire for freedom in everyone. Master Dentra then brought up the elephant in the room.
If the desire to be rid of the empire is the basic desire to be free, doesn't that apply to everyone?
Well, yes, but we can't fight for every sector. They must do it for themselves.
What about the slaves of this sector?
Dentra asked. Ilama took an uncomfortable breath. Dentra could tell that she was not typically challenged with this topic. Finally, she said, "Slavery is not preferable, but..." but it was dropped onto us by our ancestors. And now it's like holding a bull by the horns. You don't like it, but you don't dare let it go.
So you're afraid that if you free the slaves, they'll gore you?
Something to that effect. Wouldn't you turn on your former masters if they set you free?
Revenge is not the Jedi way,
he said.
But I believe most people would be more inclined to seek revenge on masters who did not free them than on masters who did.
So you are a Jedi, Ilama said. Dentra was silent for a moment, then said,
I was in training when the purge happened. A group of us were taught under one master. I had been invited to join them by my childhood friend, Tiana, who saw something powerful within me. Something I hadn't understood. She and I trained together, grew close together, and became fond of one another. But then the purge came. It all happened so fast. A platoon of troopers led by a Jedi hunter set upon us before we knew what was happening. The trainees were shot down and the master was cut down. Tiona gave her life to get me into a ship. I barely escaped. I sought refuge on a remote planet, believing I was getting away from it all. But the war caught up with me again, and I felt that I was being called by the Force to do something.
Ilama placed her hand on his shoulder and said, I'm so very sorry, Dentra. Dentra sighed, remembering what was past. Then he reminded her of the little time they had. You're right, she said. A laser blast smashed into Ilama's face, killing her instantly. Dentra turned and found a Sith droid hovering outside the window. A second rose up next to it. He leaped out of the way as it fired again. Once he had cover, he reached for his lightsaber, but then remembered that he had left it at the ship when he went to visit Ilama for the first time. One of the droids was raining a hail of shots at Dentra's cover while he could hear the other closing in. He needed his Force powers now more than ever. His skills with the Jedi mind trick that he had used earlier on the other ambassadors would not work on droids, but perhaps his skill to move things with the Force. He stood and raised his hand toward the droids, feeling the Force and willing them to stop. They froze in place and stopped firing. He faced off to them. The barrels of their weapons pointed right at his face. He brought up his other hand, and together they waved off the droids. They did as commanded, heading toward the window. Just as they crossed over the threshold, one of them exploded. A blue-green lightsaber blade cut through the air, and just as the second began firing at an unseen target, the blade sliced through it as well. Aelor jumped in the window.
Seeing Dentra, she asked if he was all right.
Dentra didn't answer. His focus was on Ilama. He went to her and fell to his knees, tears welling up in his eyes.
Guess I was too late,
Aelor added. She raised his lightsaber and offered it to him. She had gotten it from the ship to return to him when she saw him again. The player also used a fate point. Looking around the room, she said,
So much for the diplomat.
I'm going to give the speech,
Dentra said.
You're not a diplomat,
Aelor said.
And you hardly know the politics around here.
I know enough,
he said, looking down at the mangled face of Ilama. He was determined to not let her final act go unfinished. He had no speech, but he had a plan. They placed a cover over her body, then left. The local authorities would take over and there would be an investigation by House Elegen. But for now, Master Dentra needed to get to the United Houses building. Ilama had managed to get passes for the whole crew before she was killed, so they were all able to go to watch Dentra's speech. They stepped out into the balcony and waited. The late afternoon sessions began. House Elegen's attachés and ambassadors were confused to see Dentra there without Ilama. But none of them had yet learned of her murder, so no one questioned him further. By the time she was being called to the stage and Dentra stepped out in her stead, it was too late for them to stop him. He stepped purposefully out to the very center of the stage. He looked up into the balconies, making eye contact with most of the diplomats in attendance. Then at last said in a booming voice,
Diplomats, ambassadors, attachés and agents, my fellow luminaries of the great twin sectors, we are of a long and storied history. Our ancestors carved out this portion of the galaxy so that we might live independent of all other influences. It is our inherent right, nay, our duty, to preserve what they have built. We must not let them down.
And so his speech went. For several minutes, Master Dentra kept everyone's attention raptured by his commanding voice, his gestures, and his words. He focused on their birthright, and their obligation to defend it. He even touched on slavery. Knowing that they would never react to a direct plea to free them, he instead pointed out the value of their extra manpower, and how they all had to gain from holding back the Empire. He ended by saying,
"But only together may we stem this tide of oppression. Only together can we achieve everlasting freedom. Only together can we live in peace. Let every envoy here today dedicate him and herself to upholding our birthright. Let us here and now commit ourselves to preserving what our ancestors sacrificed for us. And let us never forget those who would not stand beside us to do so."
A thunderous applause shook the chamber. A couple houses, such as Vandron and Araba, were not so anxious to join them, but they did not object. It was clear which direction the tide was turning. Even some of their allies were now shrinking from their loyalty to the Empire. Their ambassadors would not say why, which implied that they were being moved on in another way. Whatever the reason, it was clear which direction the vote would go the next morning. The group that had been in the balcony felt confident of that as they left the building and strolled down the street. It seemed that everything was coming together, even the temperature, which was a mild warmth with a sweet smell in the air. They had planned to attack the training facility that night, but now they were discussing doing it the following morning after the vote. Yalto didn't want to stay that long, but he understood what solidifying the houses against the Empire would mean in the long run. At the very least, they would have to wait for Master Dentra. He had gone to the caucuses that immediately followed the quorum. It was a social event where ambassadors and diplomats discussed the speeches of the day and tried one last time to sway one another to their way of thinking. Vandron had given a speech after Dentra. Not as good of one, but it could be enough to convince some of the houses to reconsider. So Dentra remained with the surviving members of Elegen to solidify the vote. He was being congratulated and praised by professional ambassadors who had made diplomacy their lives. Others were simply happy that he had opened their eyes to the dangers of allowing the Empire to settle in their territory. Members of House Elegen were whispering among one another about the possibility of keeping him on, at least as an ambassador. When Dentra heard this, he became disturbed that they had so quickly moved on from their former diplomat. Ailama's body was still warm, and they were not even mentioning her name, only discussing her replacement. Representatives of House Vandron, Araba, and Casido were spread out in an almost desperate attempt to pull allies back to their fold, though it seemed hopeless. But Dentra could not help but notice a handful of unaffiliated representatives who were neither congratulating him nor trying to change minds. They were just standing around with their drinks, a few of them staring at him confidently, like they had a secret that he would soon learn. Dentra was interrupted from a staring match by a few ambassadors who had some questions. They involved matters Dentra knew nothing about, but he faked as though he knew, as he had been doing all night quite successfully. He drew upon the will of the Force and trusted it to guide his instincts. But then the crowd parted in the direction of the unaffiliated members again, and he saw a face that made him freeze. He could not draw from the Force, nor improvise, nor even speak. He was dumbfounded and frightened and excited and anxious all at the same time, for he was looking into the face of Teona. Without a word to them, Dentra pushed past the ambassadors that had approached him, his eyes never leaving Teona's face. She was staring back at him with a confidence that pretended there was no reason she should not be there. She just sat there on a stool nursing a drink in her evening gown whose stretch and cut allowed for freedom of movement should she need it. When he came within a few feet, another gentleman stepped up to his side. "Master Dentra, you certainly have a gift for words. I, for one, am impressed." Dentra looked over at the man. He looked familiar, yet something was missing. Dentra stared speechless for a moment, trying to match the face. He knew that he had never seen the man in person before, but he had seen it in a hologram. No words from such a master of wordsmith? I'm surprised. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Dr. Rixar Traum. Dentra suddenly realized what was missing. The man's mechanical eye patch was gone, and he had replaced his dramatic dark outfit with a fancy suit. He was holding out his hand now to shake. Dentra did not take it, instead looking at Tiona. Her face provided no answers, but she said, "Don't be rude, Kivan," and she nodded at the hand. Dentra shook the hand. Rixar suddenly yanked him toward him. He grabbed his shoulder firmly with the other hand, a grip Dentra would unlikely be able to pull away from if he tried, and he whispered, "You and I have a great deal more in common than you know." He let go and stepped back with a charming smile. Dentra slowly shook his head and said,
"I am nothing like you."
"You need to give him a chance, Kivan," Tiona said.
"Do you know the things that he's done?"
"I do. And I know you as well, and your true potential." She was standing now, approaching him. He could smell her familiar scent. The memories flooded back to him. "I know what you've always wanted," she said. "What you've always desired. It is possible. And we can show you how." Her hand found where Master Dentra was hiding his lightsaber, and she stroked it gently. Rixar flashed his self-assured smile at Dentra and told him, "You two have much to catch up on. I'll leave you to it, but I am confident that you will see it our way." He strolled off and disappeared among the crowd. Dentra turned to Tiona. He had much to ask. The rest of the group had stopped at one more restaurant and bar to celebrate and to determine what their next course of action would be. They spoke in code when discussing the attack on the Imperial building, but they were easily able to say whether they would leave in the morning or that night. They settled on the next morning. Master Dentra was still tied up with the caucus and might have other events. There was also an unusual number of people out that night. Perhaps they were celebrating? They did not know. Soon before they were finished eating, they saw a convoy of sleek, black, important-looking landspeeders pass by and head toward the wall they would be sabotaging, and the building beyond. By the time they were walking down the sidewalk, the sun had nearly reached the horizon. Shadows stretched long down the roads, and an orange-red glow pasted across the sky. The weather was still warm, especially with food in their bellies and drinks going to their heads. Even Roach had had one. Maybe two. Then another shiny black speeder rode by, followed by another. Then a beautiful limousine whose side window was rolled down. Inside, Roach and Elor spotted Master Dentra, looking straight ahead with a serious expression on his face. There were a few others in the car with him, but they were so shocked by the sight of him that they barely got a glance at the others. As they were telling Yalto and Doubly, they all heard voices gasping and rumbling with fear. Eyes were skyward and fingers pointed. The rebels looked up as well. Just visible through the haze of the atmosphere, Star Destroyers were jumping out of hyperspace. Low to the planet, they were large enough in the sky to intimidate without opening fire. Yet. One that was a bit larger that had a dim design on it appeared just over the tower, and right on cue, a man stepped onto the balcony they had spotted earlier.
"Rixar,"
Elor said. Though he was far away, she recognized his dark, dramatic outfit. He spoke through a loudspeaker that somehow projected through the entire city. "Luminaries, dignitaries, countrymen of the Twin Sectors, you have been friends of the Empire since its inception. Like the Empire, you have tamed a wild region of worlds filled with barbaric aliens and their primitive ways. You have brought civilization to savage lands, and you have held fast your birthrights. You did so through power, because might makes right." Doubly glanced around him to see how others were reacting to this announcement. Fear was unquestionably the emotion of the moment. He noticed even some people from House Van Drawn were taken by surprise by this, and they now seemed to wonder what they had supported. Rixar continued giving a speech on the value of power, equating empire to the very definition of the word. But then he concluded, "There is no greater power than the knowledge that you are safe. The Empire brings that to every region of the galaxy. And now it has brought it to you. Soon the Empire will have crushed the last vestiges of the disordered old Republic. And safety will reign across the galaxy. And you all are well advised to join the winning side." As Rixar finished the last part of his sentence, a small group of people joined him on the balcony. One of them was Master Dentra, who was standing next to a beautiful woman in black leather, who was in turn standing on the right side of Rixar, who concluded his speech. "We are the new order of the galaxy. We are the new masters. We are strength. We are safety. We are power." This has been an RPG Storytime presentation of Age of Rebellion. Join us next week to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see a visualization of this episode, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to see other things written by the author of this show, you can also find that in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!